The Chris Burns Show, powered by Dynamic Money. Creating personal financial plans built for life.
Well, good Sunday afternoon and welcome to The Chris Burns Show. So happy to have you with us today because there is so much going on, and I love when there's a common thread. We have a common thread today, friends, and that's this, that on the one hand, our country, and not just our country, but as individuals, we are wrestling with the highest debt we've ever seen. So for our country that is living on deficit spending, it's the just an unbelievable trillions of dollars in debt as a federal deficit continues rising, and that's only going to increase. And then on the flip side, as individuals, we're seeing the highest amount of credit card debt ever in history, $930 billion of credit card debt. So we're going to talk about, how do those correlate? How is it we're sitting in the longest period of economic expansion ever? We've never in our country's history seen a time of economic expansion like this, and at the same time, the greatest expansion of debt ever. What in the world does that mean? You can join the conversation. It's 404-872-0750 or 1-800-972-8255. That's 1-800-WSB-TALK. Would love to have you on because this show is not primarily just about what's going on in the headlines. It truly is. How does it filter down to you and me? How does the fact of where our government sits right now impact you and I? What does it look like for you if you're sitting with credit card debt right now and you're going, I have no idea how I got into this. So we're going to jump into that. The first thing we're going to do that I'm excited about, we have Russell Vogt. Russ is the acting director of the White House's Office of Management and Budget. In other words, he was the one primarily involved with the president putting together the budget proposal that we just saw from the White House. A lot of folks have said, who even cares? Congress is the one, if you remember Schoolhouse Rock, that actually puts this out, that actually has to put the budget together. So who cares what the president says about this? Well, it gives us a template for looking at what his priorities are going to be going into this election year and going into the next few years. And there's one thing you can say with certainty about this president. He has tried hard to follow through on what he said he was going to do. So this is a window into that. Two things really stuck out to me. Regulatory cuts are in this budget, which is something the president has long been in favor of. But secondly, and what I've heard a lot about in the media specifically, is cuts to mandatory spending to things like Medicare. So is that reality? I was able to catch up with Russ yesterday and have a conversation to shed some light on this. Let's listen in. So we have on the line Russell Vogt. Russ is the acting director of the White House Office of Management and Budget. And thank you so much. I know this has got to be one of the craziest weeks of the year for you, so thanks for making a few minutes for us.
Oh, absolutely. Good to be on your show.
What is the actual practical impact of this continued focus on regulatory cuts? How does that actually impact just the regular person listening to this show?
Well, we believe that in our analysis has concluded that about $3,000 per family for all of the impact of the deregulatory initiatives that are in the pipeline right now. Mm. So just think about that. That's basically three mortgage payments in middle America. That's an entire year's worth of a gas bill for a household. Substantial savings as a result of the kinds of initiatives that we're pursuing to lower energy costs, to lower consumer costs, to make healthcare cheaper. So there's a lot of things going on in that area that will families will see benefit to that are outside of just the economic impact or the other things that you might read about.
And how do you judge, just as you're sitting and going, what regulations have value? Because obviously there's some regulations that protect Americans, but we've just, the government at some point just got more and more and more into the bureaucratic side of just creating sometimes an insane amount of regulations. How do you make those decisions of, you know, what regulations still have value and what can we get rid of here?
Well, a lot of what we do at OMB, Office of Management and Budget, is to consider the costs and the benefits of a regulation. So there will be benefits. And what we try to figure out is, do the costs exceed the benefits, and to assess it from that standpoint. Mm. And a lot of things of what we've seen from the prior administration is that they were trying to exact costs and regulate in areas where the benefits simply were not there. And, I'll give you an example. The Obama administration was long unsuccessful in passing a cap-and-trade bill that President Obama ran for office when he said, it's important to have electricity rates necessarily skyrocket. It was, the whole point was to increase electricity rates. This administration, and thankfully they were not successful, thankfully their regulatory way of doing it when cap and trade failed was put on hold by the courts. We came in, this president made it a priority in the campaign to say, we're going to roll back that regulation, we're going to ensure that it doesn't proceed, and we're going to replace it with something that actually makes sense. Now, our replacement reg is designed to lead to a cleaner environment, to give states and facilities the tools to have lower emissions, but we're not trying to put sector caps that are so restrictive that there's no other way for different industries but to effectively model a cap and trade system. So it's just an example of one. Our regulation is going to impact the environment to the better, but we're not trying to necessarily skyrocket energy prices at the same thing.
Sure. Hey, we're talking with Russell Vogt. Russell is the acting director for the White House Office of Management and Budget. And the other thing that really stuck out to me, Russ, in this budget that I was surprised and encouraged by was cuts to entitlement programs or mandatory, whatever you want to call it. But it's easy for me to sit in this chair every week and criticize, hey, we need to make cuts here or else we're going to long-term be in trouble if we don't look at Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, et cetera. But I recognize from your side, it's quite a minefield to try to navigate, how do we maintain our promises to Americans, but also just realistically say, hey, this is going to be a problem if we don't make changes. I was impressed that there's movement towards saying we're going to make a change, but how do you and the president approach this in terms of what to cut and how to protect Americans, but be realistic here?
Sure, and I would actually clarify that point on this in this area. This budget fully protects Social Security and Medicare, as the president has promised. We have actually not changed this budget from year to year on this point. In years past, we've had more mandatory savings to programs that are on autopilot, but these are not cuts. Medicare will grow by 6%. Medicaid will grow by 3%. Well, we've identified savings where we can have better outcomes at lower costs, and let me give an example. Prescription drug benefit costs are a main driver of spending within Medicare, and if you can lower those costs without sacrificing innovation, that will lead to savings. Similarly, there's $57 billion in improper payments in Medicaid, and if we can root those out, we can have more of a block grant approach in Medicaid. That allows us to identify savings. So, the Democrats have been, I think, making a lot of noise about the president cutting Medicare and Medicaid, and we just view it fundamentally different in the sense that there's a way to find savings and reforms that lead to better outcomes for the beneficiaries, and not cut these programs and ensure that the president's commitments are maintained.
Well, that's a good point to clarify. So in other words, saying no actual benefits being cut, but just trying to root out inefficiencies that are costing us money regardless, while maintaining the core benefits.
You're exactly right.
Okay. Well, again, thank you so much for your time. I know that you have a lot going on, but best wishes as you get through the rest of this season. And we've been talking with Russell Vogt. He's the acting director of the White House Office of Management and Budget. Thank you so much for coming on, sir.
Thanks, Chris. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Russ. What I think is fascinating talking with Russ there is that actually totally I can identify with a national issue on a personal level. And maybe you caught this too. There's a lot we could break down here, but I just want to hit the very end again. As you heard him basically say, look, this is an elephant in a sense. Like, how do you eat an elephant, right? And what bite at a time? And you've listened to this show before. If you know me, you've heard me talk about the massive financial difficulty that our country is facing. There is no doubt that we need to have substantive, difficult discussions about where we're headed. And yet, you also aren't going to see this change overnight. So what does our country do? And he's basically saying, well, first, we're going to identify the inefficiencies we have in the current system. Maybe you believe that, maybe you don't, but it sure makes a lot of sense to say what we're going to do first is root out, are there tons and tons of monies being spent on things that aren't actually helping the core benefits? Is that reality? And here's what we're going to transition. If the same is true for our personal budgets, If you're sitting right now, and according to the data, what we've seen is that we're looking at the highest level of credit card debt ever in the history of our country, just like we're looking at the highest deficits we've ever seen in the history of our country, right? What do you do about that? Do you go immediately to rice and beans and driving Uber in all your spare time? Is that how you handle if you're dealing with debt right now, if your kids or your grandkids are dealing with that? What do you do? And maybe the first answer is a very similar approach, which is going, well, what is it that we're doing to create inefficiencies? Are there things we can cut back on that may not solve the bigger issue? It might not change the entire picture of debt. That might be a long-term conversation we need to have. And I certainly want to get into the practical side of what do you do about that? If you're sitting right now looking at debt and it feels crushing and it feels overwhelming, but sometimes the first step is actually looking at where are there things that we could change that we wouldn't even really notice, but could begin to make a real impact on the way that we spend our money. Sometimes we just haven't looked. And I want to dig into that. Friends, if you want to talk, it's 404-872-0750, because I'd love to hear your stories of where you stand with debt right now. How is it that we've gotten to a point, again, where we have some of the most prosperous times in the history of our country, the lowest unemployment, right? The longest bull market in history. Most of us are out working right now. How is it that we have record levels of credit card debt? How do we get here? And a little more uncomfortably, how did you get here if you're sitting in that situation? And what are you doing to get out of it? Or what have you been doing? Because I want to get super practical. It's not that different from the issues that our country's facing right now. And it's important that we recognize there is a way forward.
Check out dynamicmoney.com to get started on a financial plan built for life.
Hey, welcome back to the Chris Burns Show. Again, phone lines are open. It's 404-872-0750 or 1-800-972-WSB-TALK. And what are we talking about? Debt. Not only are we sitting in debt, our country is sitting in debt, and it's remarkable how much those actually tie together in some ways. Have you ever sat in debt, or are you there right now? And many of you listening, wherever you happen to be sitting right now, that's not something you feel comfortable talking about, and I get it. You don't want the person next to you, you don't want the person in the same room or the same house as you to understand what you're actually going through, because the numbers point to an alarming reality, and that is this. We're sitting now as a country with $930 billion in credit card debt. That is a new record. Now, here is an interesting fact. Guess when the last record was reached? It was directly prior to the financial crisis in 2008. Okay, so there is a correlation consistently between incredible and record levels of debt, credit card debt specifically, and economic prosperity. Does that seem ironic to you? Why is it that when our country is growing, when our economy is growing, when we are seeing the lowest mortgage rates ever, where we can refinance debt out and get rid of credit cards, when we're seeing the longest job expansion ever, all these amazing things, why is it that credit card debt is through the roof? And let me just say this, regardless of the reason that you're sitting in it, because I would love to hear where you are right now. If you want to talk about, like, this is exactly what's going on with me, that I am sitting in this kind of debt, that I don't even understand why I'm in this debt. I sit down with a lot of people who sit, and when we discuss how did you get into this debt, there is no easy answer for them, because a lot of them are doing okay by everyone else's standards. They feel crushed by it, but on the outside, they're making a good income. Their salary is fine. They're just trying to keep up with the Joneses, the people next door, whatever it is, they look good, but the reality is beneath the surface, this debt becomes more and more overwhelming. And I can speak to that from experience, because I'm someone who has sat with crushing credit card debt. One of the reasons I'm in this industry is because years and years ago, I sat in it, and I know what it feels like to go, there is no way out of this. What are we going to do? How are we going to get out? And when you are sitting on that level of debt, it feels like no matter how many extra payments, when you throw extra money at it, it just doesn't go away. But there is a way forward through that. I'd love to hear your stories of where you sit right now and also your plan for getting through it. And I'd love to engage with you on practical ways that you can do that, because we as Americans are sitting on this debt. How can we expect our government to make hard, significant changes to that if it's something that we're sitting in and we don't know how to change. So again, that number, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. Let's share our actual stories of what we're going on through right now, how we're going to get through this debt, because maybe then we can lead the way as people towards the government making change.
Have questions for Chris? Hit him up on Twitter, at CWBurns.
Hey, welcome back to the Chris Burns Show. Have you been in debt? Are you in debt? There's something so toxic about credit card debt specifically because it feels like, again, no matter how much you put money towards that debt, no matter how much you throw an extra paycheck or an extra $100 or whatever you can at the end of the month, you get the statement next month and it feels like nothing has changed because not only are we sitting now as a country with the highest level of credit card debt ever, in the midst of the longest economic expansion we've ever seen, we're also sitting on the highest credit card interest rates ever, which are paying for those great reward programs so many people love on their cards. So it is a toxic combination, and I know what that feels like. It can feel crushing. So if you are in that place, or if you come through that place, what do you do right now? You can go to the phones. It's 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. We have Jay. Jay, thanks so much for joining the Chris Burns Show. How can I help you?
How are you?
Well, I'm happy to have you on.
Glad to be here. I was driving and on the radio. I don't know what preceded the last 10 minutes, but I heard you talking about debt, and I said, wow, I would love to just say something on that. I had a lot of debt at one time, right? And I'm coming out of it more and more and more and more. And I discovered that one reason for debt has to do with two things, motives, and it has to do with management. What is your motive for getting a credit card? What is your motive for getting this loan? What is, you know, because when you look at behavior patterns, right, behavior is based on your culture and your upbringing, the things you think based on what has, you know, been programmed in your mind. And so, you know, we get addicted to things, and we have to learn to understand whatever you ignore, you become ignorant of. And so you need management skills. So we have to learn to manage sources, manage resources, you know, telling the money, this is where you're going to go. And you do that by keeping a budget, keeping up, tracking, you know, your expenses. And I learned that when we don't have knowledge on a particular subject, money, marriage, anything along those lines, when there's not good truth, good knowledge, then you can go off track, go off course. And now you start finding out there's bill after bill and debt after debt after debt. So my advice would be for us to get very educated, knowledgeable on money management skills. You know, there's something in the Bible, in Hosea, you know, 4 and 6 in the Bible said, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge and have rejected knowledge. So you can't reject what's not available. So knowledge is available. We just got to get more up on understanding management. Well, I think that's one of the
biggest issues. Let me ask you something about that, because I have dealt with, obviously, the whole point of this show is knowledge, right? So much of what we do is talk about giving practical hits, giving practical ideas of what you do about it. And yet I know a lot of people that know everything correctly, and yet the actual process of change, of going, I've been living in this pattern, I'm going to change to a different pattern, that is hard to do. So, Jay, if you've been in that place, what did you do to actually change beyond just learning something? What was the actual practice of change?
That's an excellent question. What I actually did was change my thinking. I really did. I started thinking, not letting the parameters of the outside control my inside world, if that makes sense. I started changing my pattern of thinking and then applying it. You know, knowledge is information, but wisdom is applying that information. You know, I started just changing my mindset, changing my thinking, saying, you know what, I'm not going to let this predict to me that I'm broke. I'm not going to let this predict to me that I don't have what it takes. You know, I'm not going to let the salary that I get control what happens in my life. I'm going to allow my own dream to invent my own vision. And so it's changing your thinking pattern. It's changing how you think about yourself. And when you think different, you know, your behavior is different. When your behavior is different, you know, your lifestyle is different. So a lot of it has to do with changing the condition of our minds. And when I started changing the conditioning of my mind and transform my mind to start thinking different, like, I will go broke by choice, you know. Sure. I'm going to get in heavy debt by choice. So, you know, we can say, yes, a lot of us have credit card issues, or just, you know, debt issues in general. But let's go back to what caused that. And is it too late to get out? It's never too late. It's now I have to change my thinking, you know, change my behavioral patterns and start saying, hey, I'm not going to wait to the new year for a resolution. I'm just going to simply start today and do my life totally different according to principles that will make that change and difference.
Well,
and that's what I did.
Thank you so much for that call. What I love about what he's saying is that it's so easy, because all of us know this. It's not like anybody sits out there going, you know what I think I should do? I should just add a ton of credit card debt to my life, right? I should just take all this on. The reality is we might know, we have knowledge in our mind of where that could lead to, and yet we develop these patterns, and those patterns can go back to when you were a kid. Those patterns can go to maybe you were living in scarcity. Whatever it is, there's a story that we tell ourselves, and then there's a story that says, I'm never going to get out of this. And I've met with so many people that feel like they're not going to get out of it. And a lot of it is starting foundationally with going, you know what, there might be a different way, there might be a different path. So thank you so much just for talking about how changing your thinking impacted the way you approach debt. We also have Don. Don, what was your experience with debt?
Well, we had a very unexpected life circumstance. I had a very successful business, and our fourth child came down with a horrible diagnosis. Which proceeded, turned into a series of diagnoses, and I had to give up my business, and we had to change our entire lifestyle. We used our credit cards strategically. We had been very careful, but we got used to lifestyle, a certain lifestyle, and that changed. I lost my income. My wife did not have a viable skill. And I had to be the full-time caretaker for my child. So for a period of 2 years, we incurred more and more credit card debt, as well as medical debt, that exceeded $120,000.
Wow.
It was absolutely desperate and overwhelming. Yeah, we had this beautiful house, but behind those green doors, it was nothing but heartbreak. And we didn't broadcast our problems. We dealt with it. She went back to school. She got a nursing degree. And 2 years after we had the loss of income, we now had some income. We had to realize that we were now poor and that the things that we liked weren't things that we needed. That was really hard. It didn't happen overnight.
Well, that's the question I was going to ask you, is that kind of a change for anybody, regardless of what your income level is, when you're used to living a certain way and then you're confronted with the reality of externally, it's not anything we necessarily did. We didn't just go buy, you know, a bunch of new stuff on credit. We had to use credit cards for this reason, for this critical reason, whatever that happened to be. But now we have to make this significant change. What was the hardest piece of that change to you, question one? And two is, what has been the reward, if there is one, on the other side for having gone through that?
Okay. Those are two really great questions. My wife has, and I, we have not received gifts from each other in 15 years. Mm. It doesn't mean we don't want to do it. It's that we don't need those gifts. And it's more important to pay off the small amount of debt now that we still have. We changed. We fundamentally decided this is our life now. We don't have a choice. We can either, you know, punt and live a lie, or we can adapt. And we decided to adapt. What strategies we used is that we went to a nonprofit organization that was recommended by Clark Howard on their website. And we talked pretty extensively with them. We shared with them all of our debts, both credit card and medical. And they helped us consolidate those different parts. They worked with credit card companies.
Yeah.
Some of them were willing to lower their interest rate. Some of them, frankly, said, yeah, go screw yourself. We're not doing that. It was really hard, but we had a plan and we stuck to the plan. We didn't go out. I drive a 1998 white Honda with a dent on the side, and it gets me from here to there, and that's what a car needs to do. Yeah, I would like a nicer car, but that's not real.
Well, Don, what I appreciate about what you're saying is that you're not sugarcoating this. I think a lot of people would just jump in and say, hey, we have this massive debt. We had to make these huge changes, but now everything's rosy and fine and good. And you're sitting here talking about, and I think this is critical, just the reality that this is not easy. It's just like, again, going back to the federal budget, this idea of we're just going to snap our fingers and it's going to be this magical change. But is there the hope for change? Yeah. In fact, the nonprofit that Dom is talking about, most likely the one that Clark has recommended and one that I actually worked through years and years and years ago when I was getting out of credit card debt, they're now called clearpoint.org. But if you're somebody listening who's looking for, because there's so many folks out there trying to honestly take advantage of people who are in debt, you need to ignore those kind of people, the nonprofit to go to. Again, clearpoint.org, because they'll give you actual advice on this. But again, not sugarcoating it. Looking at the reality of it, that change is not easy, that change is hard. We're going to go back to the phones. If you want to be on the phones, it's 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We have Tracy. Tracy, what's your experience been?
Hi, Chris. Thank you for allowing this call, and I really enjoy your show.
No, thank you so much for calling in.
My experience has been, I recognized early on that our relationship with money is often started off wrong. A lot of times we grow up and we get money and we're not taught the principles of respecting money. And I've noticed over the last, I'm in my 50s, mid-50s, so I see retirement ahead of me. And one of the things that I think about is managing money now, today. My credit card debt has never exceeded, I would probably say, less than $10,000. So it doesn't really matter the amount, but what you do with it. And one of the things that I feel has had a huge impact over the last, I would say, two decades is social media. I think we've underestimated the impact social media has had on households. When we see things, we desire them and we want them, and it's so easy to acquire things and put it on credit. And when it's time to pay for those things, I think that's where the disconnect is. And I personally take the time, my way of taking care of my debt and managing my credit card and reducing my debt is I open those statements and I look at those fees. And when I look at what I've paid for, if I've swiped that card and what it cost me, that's a reality for me. And I don't like it. No matter what the interest rate is, I don't like having to pay a fee for something that I've worked very, very hard. So that polices me and helps me to not use my credit cards as much unless I absolutely have to. But I've even found myself seeing things on social media,
sure,
feeling, you know, emotional about it. I guess it would be it's the same as someone that might have emotional eating. But I think that's a real problem that we have in our society is that we see a lot of things that we want and desire, and we're not willing to pay the true cost of what it costs us to have those things.
Well, Tracy, that's a great point. And honestly, what you're talking about is similar to just this whole idea of the Christmas card culture, right? Before we had social media, where you get these Christmas cards and it'd be, well, our family's perfect and our family's great and we have everything we need. And it drives us towards feeling like we need things that maybe we don't need. And that, especially in a time of economic prosperity, maybe we should go for it. And then we find ourselves going, holy cow, how do I get out of this? When we come back, we'll answer more calls. We have Bill and Michael on hold. If you want to be part of the conversation, it's 404-872-0750. You're listening to The Chris Burns Show.
Looking for practical tips on how to manage money? Check out dynamicmoney.com for the latest blogs.
Hey, welcome back. Again, the number to call, 404-872-0750. Thankful for everyone who stayed on hold. We've been talking about debt. Are you experiencing debt? Our country certainly is. Highest debt we've ever seen as a country. Highest deficits we've ever run. We had the chance to talk with Russ Vogt, who is the president's chief budget advisor, about what's going on with the president's budget proposal. But then we transitioned just to say, look, this isn't just our country. It's not just the government having an issue here. We just saw a new study showing $930 billion, a record of personal credit card debt. So what do you do about that? We have Clay on the line. Clay, thanks so much for calling. And here's the deal. We only have about a minute, so we're going to have to keep it a little shorter. But thank you so much for reaching out. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'd like a little guidance. My wife and I have been married for 29 years, and we've carried debt pretty much the whole time. Problem is we were too good about paying our bills, so they gave us more credit and we used it. The only time we've been debt-free is when we've had a windfall of money and used it to pay off the debt, and then we seem to get back in just almost immediately. We try budgeting, and I guess my question is the secret to budgeting really just fixing a budget and being able to stick to it? Because
sure.
We both have a different idea of what sticking to the budget means.
Well, let me give you a quick thought, because this is the experience of a lot of people, and that is sometimes you need a third party who can actually reach out and help you guys make sense of this, because it's more about how you communicate and the patterns you get into. And again, let me just highlight again, if you've been sitting in debt for a long time, you can't get out of it. Clearpoint.org is a nonprofit that will actually help you with this. Hey, we have 5 more people sitting, waiting on the phones. I'm sorry we don't have time to get today. Would love you to call back next week. But please remember this. We have our podcast every week. It's the Chris Burns Show. You can listen to this. You can listen to Beyond the Show. We'll talk more about debt. But always remember that your life is more than money.